Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
That's right, it's another edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'm also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where you can check out a lot more of my work, along with some of the other great writers we have there for you. It's Halloween Day here in New Orleans. I've got my little devil horns on, trying to be somewhat festive for Locked On Pelicans with you all. And, you know, it being Halloween, the Pelicans have kind of given us the exact spirit of that with tricks and treats. The treats obviously being Anthony Davis's start to the year. He's been absolutely just on fire and gone supernova, though he did have a bit of a quieter game on Saturday against the Spurs, but basically leading the league in a ton of different categories. And the tricks are, apparently, the Pelicans can't get a win despite those performances. They are 0-3. They played, I was last with you on Friday, they played against the Golden State Warriors in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center, where they fell by 8, 114 to 122. They then went on the road immediately to play the Spurs on the second night of a back-to-back in San Antonio, where they fell 79-98 in a game that they just looked absolutely inept. The Spurs defense, you know, pretty much just smothered them and took the Pelicans out. Anthony Davis had his worst game. It was, you know, for him, pedestrian, though good for, you know, plenty of other people. So we're going to talk about both those games, kind of the good from them, the bad from them, where, you know, break it down a little bit. I don't want to touch on them too much. I know you all watched them. But I want to dive into this offense and why it's been struggling so far. And we'll get into that in the second half of the podcast. You know, why is this offensive rating for this Pelicans team with Anthony Davis and with him playing as well as he has? 50-point game, 40 in the other. You know, this is not a joke here. Of what he's doing. Their offensive rating is 29th in the league right now. So they've been pretty atrocious. We want to break down why. What's going on? Is it the supporting cast? Is it the play style and what they're trying to do? Coaching? You know, it kind of is the blame on Dell Demps for bringing these guys in, or is it on Alvin Gentry for not getting the most out of these guys? There's certainly talent here. So what, you know, we want to break down what's going on. So we'll do that in the second half of the podcast for you. So the Warriors game, and you know, first you want to mention Anthony Davis in this, where he had 45 points, 17 rebounds, 6 offensive boards, which was really nice to see. Got to the line 14 times, took 2 3-pointers, made one, which I also like to see out of him. His assist numbers were down from the first game, but overall, I mean, it's another stellar night for the guy, and the Pelicans still lost, and I think you might see this being a theme throughout the year. Basically, it's not that this team will go as far as Anthony Davis will take them. He's tried to do that, and they've lost the 2 games where he's gone, you know, for 45 and then 50. So the problem here is going to be the supporting cast, and, you know, no one else in this game played particularly great. Well, actually, that's a lie. Tim Frazier did. He was the next one I wanted to talk about. 21 points, 10 assists. It's kind of a more remarkable stat line and night he had than Steph Curry, minus the 3-point shooting. He's really setting guys up. He's shown the ability to get to the rim. He's a little bit faster, you know, in real time than I thought he was after watching him last season in preseason. And he's come out kind of, I think he wants guaranteed money in the NBA. And I think he wants to prove that, you know, he deserves more than a 1-year deal. And he's kind of out there playing his butt off, and he's in a good position to shine with the Pelicans. So it was nice to see. The other big name from this game against the Warriors was Dante Cunningham. He's a person that's kind of been forgot about, with Solomon Hill seemingly taking his role in that 3-4 defender type spot that Solomon Hill was brought in to do, you know, paid big money to get in here for. He had more minutes than Solomon Hill did. He played 32 minutes against the Warriors. Solomon Hill and his $50 million salary only played 24 minutes. He was 6 for 11 from the line. He was 3 of 6 from 3, which is the big thing. Solomon Hill, we knew, wasn't going to be very good offensively, but we thought he would at least be able to hit the corner three, his 3-point shots. Well, he only took one against the Warriors, whereas Cunningham took 6 and hit 3 of them, 50%. He scored 15 points. His defense is okay. The other good thing to see was he grabbed 8 defensive rebounds. I've talked a lot on this podcast how I worry when Anthony Davis plays center, this team's going to struggle to grab defensive boards. When Cunningham's out there, they're really using him at the four. He can't defend quick athletic three, so they want him paired with Anthony Davis, with Davis playing the five, Cunningham playing the four. And if he's able to grab those defensive rebounds, particularly because he is guarding the centers on offense or whatever, you know, the person playing the center position is, whether it's a true center or not, that's going to be really important for him. So it was nice to see him grab those rebounds. You know, you would expect to see him play probably a little bit more tomorrow against Milwaukee. You got to wonder how they're going to have to manage this rotation now with Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham. You've got to play the big money guy in Solomon Hill. He's your wing stopper. But Cunningham's going to start to make a case, I think, especially if he can hit his shots to earn more playing time. Solomon Hill's great. I like him. He's a great quote. He says all the right things when you interview him, particularly when it comes to defense and the mentality he has. But if you can't play him on offense and he's not hitting his threes, again, this team is the second worst offense in the league right now. If he's not able to score, it doesn't matter if you're stopping anyone. You know, Anthony Davis isn't going to go for 45 a night, and the Pelicans need some help around him. Solomon Hill offensively isn't giving them that. And I think the playing time is going to fluctuate till he can maybe prove it to Alvin Gentry and this coaching staff that he deserves to be out there, you know, for 30, 36 minutes a night. So the game the next night then on Saturday against San Antonio in San Antonio on the road. It's not a tough, you know, matchup easy. You go from playing the Golden State Warriors at home to playing San Antonio in San Antonio on the road. So you got to get on a plane right after the Warriors game. Get out there, you know, and you're playing a game less than 24 hours later. Don't forget the Pelicans against Warriors was a late tip-off for them. It was at 8:30 because it was on ESPN. So, you know, they didn't have much rest. They had to travel right away. It's never going to be an easy thing like that, especially against the Spurs. And I mean, it kind of just showed how tired the Pelicans were. They shot 37.2% from the field. They were 4 of 22 from three-point range. This is starting to become a theme. Only 18% there. You know, they just looked absolutely atrocious on offense. No one was having a strong shooting night. Anthony Davis only played 31 minutes. They realized this game was out of hand. He didn't really need to go in there. Cunningham, as I, you know, just mentioned, he was 3 of 5 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep. Again, that's big. He needs to hit those three-pointers since this team needs some shooting right now. 9 points, he grabbed his rebounds, he had 2 offensive, 3 defensive, you know, for 5 total. He's going to be a good rotation guy. He had 22 minutes, Solomon Hill had 26 minutes, so I think they're really going to be locked in a competition for, you know, who gets out on the court more. I think it's probably going to have to do more with matchup than anything else. You kind of need Solomon Hill here a little bit more to mark Kawhi Leonard, who had 20 points for the team. You know, when you shoot 37% from the field, it's not going to go well. When you only make 4 three-pointers compared to the opponent's 10, you're going to be in some trouble. They did a good job on the defensive glass for what it's worth, not allowing the Spurs any second-chance points. The Spurs don't tend to go for second-chance points, and they eschew offensive rebounding, but it was at least nice to see the team not give up offensive rebounds to a team that's not trying to get them. That's really good, would have been a sign of bad news for the Pelicans. Another area where they kind of gave up, and this is kind of what cost them the game a little bit too, was they only had 10 turnovers total, which is very good for a game. The Pelicans have done a very good job this season of holding on to the ball, not coughing it up, not letting the opponent get steals, anything like that. But off those 10 turnovers, San Antonio scored 19 points in transition and on the fast break. And, you know, I've said the Pelicans' transition defense is pretty good, but that's largely predicated on them making their shots. You make a shot, you get back, you get set. Or you miss the shot, you still get back, you get set. Turnovers are an entirely different story. When the turnovers are occurring, especially if it's from a guard, it's going to be in the backcourt. And, you know, it's going to lead to an easy fast break when no one's there. You know, Tim Frazier had 2 himself. You know, the other guys, Hield had 1, Dante Cunningham had 1. And, you know, these are fine. Again, 10 turnovers is pretty good. It's just they occurred in very unfortunate spots. The Spurs are very good in transition, and there wasn't much the Pelicans were going to be able to do. The Spurs' defense is so good, it'll absolutely punish you if you make any mistake at all, even if you minimize those mistakes. And that had a lot to do with the loss. I really think the second night of the back-to-back wasn't very good. Davis had just a pedestrian performance. You know, he only shot the ball 15 times, scored 18 points still. 3 blocks was nice to see. But overall, I think he just a bit of an off night. And this is going to tie in what we're going to talk into just next is, frankly, you can't rely on Anthony Davis to put up 45 and 50 points a game. He said after the first one against the Denver Nuggets, which is, you know, it's a telling quote. He said he feels he's going to need to put up 50 every night if the Pelicans want to have even a chance of winning games. If you're scoring 50 points and you want to just have a chance of winning, come on, you need some help. You know, after the Denver game, I didn't want to jump into this just yet and cause an overreaction, and I don't want to do it now. It's only been three games. There's still going to be some time, but now that we've got a little bit of a larger sample size, we're starting to see one or two themes coming about, and that has to do with three-point shooting and some other things, and, you know, we're going to talk about that, like I said. So there's some worry here that if he really isn't going to play at, you know, an MVP caliber level every night, and it's not to say he didn't have a good game against the Spurs, but again, it wasn't over 30 points, wasn't over 40 points, wasn't 50 points. This team just stood no chance because right now there's no one else that can score and is really a threat. So what's going on the offensive side of the ball? Why have the Pelicans kind of wasted two very good games by Anthony Davis? Those games are more than very good, let's be honest here. But why have they been wasted and turned into losses in the games against the Warriors and the Denver Nuggets? And there's a couple culprits. There's two in particular. The first one people are pointing to is three-point shooting. The Pelicans for the year are 12 of 63. That's 19% from deep on the year. That ranks last in the league in terms of percentage of the 19%. The 63 attempts are only 18th worst in the league. So, you know, not quite in the bottom 10, but not in the top 10 either. And that's a bit surprising to me. You figure this team needs to shoot threes a little bit more. And the reason for that, I'm going to tell you, is because the team spent money on guys like Etwan Moore, Langston Galloway, Solomon Hill, Buddy Hield. Their offensive skill is shooting. But yet the Pels still rank 18th in three-pointers attempted. So it would seem like this team needs more three-point shooting attempts. And that seems like it would work with Davis on offense. But when you're shooting only 19%, you know, people expect this to improve. And yeah, maybe the Pelicans shot 36% from three-point range last season. But that was with Gordon and Ryan Anderson. Is this actually going to improve? You know, Moore, yeah, he should be fine. He started to pick it up against the Spurs a little bit. His three-point shot wasn't as falling, but his stroke just in general seemed to kind of return. But Solomon Hill? I'm not sure. You know, he's had that end-of-season run with the Pacers, the playoff run, where he shot well. But again, you know, that was more the outlier than the norm for him. And I'm not sure that this guy is going to be a consistent three-point shooter going forward, frankly. And, you know, so far through three games, we haven't really seen it from him. But he healed, you know, probably eventually he's going to need to figure it out. He'll figure it out. He needs to figure it out. But he's going to struggle as a rookie for most of the year. He's not going to be a reliable three-point shooter for this Pelicans team. Langston Galloway is much better from the corners than above the break, where the Pelicans are kind of using him for shooting threes. So overall, you know, I don't know if this three-point shooting percentage is going to really significantly improve for the Pelicans overall. Yeah, it's going to get better than 19%, but say it jumps to 30%, which might be a reasonable number first. Through three games, that only adds 5.7 points per game for the Pelicans. That's not enough. That's not fixing this offense by just saying that the three-point shooting is going to improve. I still think they need to shoot more threes overall. These are the, you know, what these guys are brought in to do. If they're not shooting threes, they're being used out of position and in ways that I don't really particularly want them to be used. None of them are tremendous at driving to the rim at all. So it's kind of been, you know, a mixed bag for the Pelicans. You have Davis and shooters, and these shooters aren't making their shots. They're not taking enough shots. And it's going to eventually start mucking up the offense, as we saw against the San Antonio Spurs. Anthony Davis can only do so much himself. These other guys need to step up. Another problem with the offense, and this is actually kind of due to Anthony Davis himself, because they're so reliant on him right now, and he's absolutely dominating, so they should keep feeding him the ball. By all means, do it if it's working, though it's not translating it into wins, is it's getting them away from this Alvin Gentry team style of basketball they want to play. People are going to point to the assist numbers and say, look at all the assists, look at the assist percentage. That doesn't mean they're playing necessarily team ball, the type of offense they want to run through Alvin Gentry. And like I said, a lot of that skewed, it's only three games, so the numbers are going to look all sorts of crazy. And it's because Anthony Davis is taking the ball so much and that he's the guy who should be doing it, because frankly, no one else who can score here. But right now, the Pelicans are running about 10% of their plays are isolation plays, according to NBA stats and Synergy. It's their eighth best at it in the league, which is great. That's sixth most in the league. If I were to tell you guys that was going to be the case to start the year, I don't think you'd believe me with Tim Frazier running point, and passing the ball, and with a guy with the shooters here, these aren't isolation type players. So they're running a ton of isolation. That's mainly with Anthony Davis and probably Lance Stevenson doing his Lance Stevenson thing at the end of games. But that's more than they want to be running. In transition, they're ninth worst. They are not scoring well in transition. I know Jason Commies of BourbonStreetShots.com is going to have an article up about that very soon, today, this Monday at some point. So it'll give you some insight in that. That can be fixed. They're only scoring on less than 50% in transition. I pointed this out in preseason as well, saying it's about 1-to-1 point per turnover. When they force a turnover, they're scoring about 1 point per that. Remember the Spurs had about a 2-to-1 ratio the other night. They're running a lot of post-ups right now of the Pelicans with Anthony Davis. His post-up game has looked significantly improved. But don't forget, overall, his face-up game's better. His spot-up shooting game's better. His post-up game with his back to the basket hasn't been particularly great. Teams are doubling him a little bit more in the post right now throughout the start of the year, and he's been doing that more often. It's third best in the league. I don't know if that's going to be sustainable going forward. The other problem is their spot-up shooting 18.8% of the time, and fifth worst at that in the league, despite that high number. A lot of that's because they're not making their three-point shots, though those three-point shots are open. But I'd like to see them manufacture these looks in another way. And you'll notice I haven't mentioned pick and roll just yet. They run the pick and roll total about 20.1% of the time, which for a Pelicans team with a pretty good point guard in Tim Frazier, or an acceptable point guard until Drew Holiday comes back, and a dominant pick and roll big in Anthony Davis, 20.1% of the time is not good. They need to be running more pick and roll right now. Davis only finishes as the roll man 13.9% of the time. He's a tremendous finisher. They need to get him the ball in the pick and roll a little bit more. Think back to the Denver game. They ran a bunch there, and there were a few plays that really opened up for them because of that. Because of his range and the three-point shooting range he has, teams can't really sag off him on the pick and roll and just try and defend the paint. There was one in particular. He set the pick for Tim Frazier. Frazier started to drive a little bit slowly coming off the screen. And what Anthony Davis did was kind of delay his roll to the basket. The defender guarding him was frozen. He had to take a step out, worried that Anthony Davis was going to pop behind the three-point line, and he didn't want to give up an open three-point attempt. The second that defender took a step towards Davis, his speed and athleticism, he drove right to the basket, got the pass from Frazier, and finished on an uncontested dunk. It's that range and his overall, game that allowed him to do that, and they need to be running more type of plays like this. Davis is eventually going to start being an ineffective guy if he's the only threat. And right now, other than Tim Frazier, he really is. So the Pelicans desperately need either three-point shots to start falling. I think the best way to do that is going to be keep taking more three-pointers, because teams are going to start doubling and tripling Davis all the time. You keep raining three-pointers on him, they eventually will fall to at least a better clip than 19%. And it'll give Davis more room to work. And frankly, it's going to make Davis' life easier, which is what we all want. So we'll see if that'll be the case going forward and if they can kind of get this under control. I think right now it's just too reliant on Anthony Davis. You need to run the pick and roll a little bit more. That way it'll at least make Tim Frazier more of a threat. If you're doing that, it should give him more space to operate. If teams go to double Anthony Davis, that can leave room for other cutters coming down the lane. And right now this offense looks a little too stagnant, so you need to mix it up. And I think the pick and roll, 20.1% of the time isn't enough on a team with Anthony Davis. We've got to get him the ball in that sense more. It should free up shooters even better, though they're not falling. Etuan Moore can at least move in a little bit. His mid-range was working a little bit more. He'll have opportunities from there. It also might make things a little bit easier on Solomon Hill. Use him as a trailing runner in the pick and roll. So if Davis can't get the ball, if Frazier doesn't have the shot, you at least have Solomon Hill coming from behind, and he's doing something on offense. This is really what they need to be running right now, not just this spot-up shooting isolation type ball that they're doing. It's not working for the Pelicans right now. And again, they paid money for these guys to shoot threes. get them the ball in the spots they like, use them properly, and those threes should start falling. Luckily, I feel better about Moore's shooting after that Spurs game, but like I said, Solomon Hill, they need to figure out another way to make him an effective part of this offense. Otherwise, they're playing 4-on-5. So that's it today for Locked On Pelicans. I landed late last night, a little out of it recording it this morning, so I think I was a bit all over the place, but we'll get back to it this week. I'm going to record the next one shortly, so we'll have it up for you at 6 in the morning or so on Tuesday. Get back to that. And, you know, the Pelicans play tomorrow in the Smoothie King Center against Milwaukee. We'll preview that game for you. I'll talk a couple other topics, and we'll keep you going with everything you need with the Pelicans. So thank you for listening to Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget to listen to Locked On NBA. Find out what's going on league-wide. It's been a great listen on my flights. That's what I had in my ear in the earbuds today. So thanks for listening. I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, writer for BourbonStreetShots.com. We're going to have some articles up on the site every day this week, maybe two today on Monday. So be sure to keep checking for them. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls. Plus, one day only, tomorrow, take 50% off all Old Navy active at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only. Active offer 10/20, excludes in-store clearance.